Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Josh Davis and J.R. Church continue the study of the hidden prophecies in the Psalms. Faithful friends, our special effort to have 500 monthly supporters join the work here at Southwest Radio Ministries has been underway now for a little over a month, and I'm so excited to report that we have individuals and families that are committed to supporting SWRC and Watchmen on the Wall on a monthly basis. The question today is, will you join these faithful friends with your monthly gift? Visit SWRC.com and click on Donate Now, or simply call 800-652-1144. Please, friends, be one of the faithful 500 this month. Your recurring monthly gift helps us continue this kingdom-sized mission every single day. Friends, could the book of Psalms contain hidden prophecies set to be discovered by our generation? That question drove J.R. Church, founder of Prophecy in the News, to dive deep into this book of the Bible. What he discovered turned into one of his most popular teachings of all time. Brought out of the vault for the first time in many years, J.R. Church's classic teaching points out many parallels between historical events and the book of Psalms. To help guide us through this teaching, here's staff evangelist Josh Davis.
Reverend J.R. Church saw many parallels between historical events and the book of Psalms. He asked some interesting questions along the way, like, could there be a connection between the number of the Psalms and the years in the 1900s? Now, he was not dogmatic about these connections, nor did he press the text of Scripture to set exact dates, as he makes very clear, but Reverend Church noted some striking insights gleaned from his study on the Psalms. So the audio that you'll hear today was first recorded in the 20th century, so please keep that in mind when you hear him mention this century, along with comments of other historical references and current events of that particular day. So on today's episode, Reverend Church continues his classic teaching on what he called the incredibly cryptic Psalms.
Though the Psalms represent the heartbeat of an ancient Jewish culture, they may also have within them the cryptic language of a prophet. Do the Psalms declare a prophetic design? Was David, the sweet singer of Israel, a prophet as well? Would God have allowed David and the others to write so many of the Psalms without including in them his great plan of the ages? Furthermore, since prophecy was so important in the religious thinking of early Judaism, would not he also have provided prophecies in their music? Another question. Were the Psalms compiled in chronological order, perhaps even numerical order, according to the events predicted for the last century? Why not? There is at least a possibility that the Psalms contain cryptic references to the events of that special generation which will witness the second coming of Christ. On our last program, we considered a sampling of the first 49 Psalms, which appeared to describe those events affecting the Jewish people in the first 49 years of this century. For instance, Psalm 17 contains certain statements which appear to refer to 1917, the year General Allenby took the city of Jerusalem from the Turks. Furthermore, we considered a number of passages from Psalm 32 through 45, which appear to contain cryptic descriptions of the Holocaust, which befell the Jewish people during the years from 1932 through 1945. We also took note of the following Psalms, which appear to describe the rebirth of the State of Israel, which occurred in 1948. The descriptions contained in Psalm 48 have an uncanny parallel to certain events surrounding the birth of the State of Israel. The psalmist wrote in verse 6, "Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail." Now the question, If the first 48 Psalms contain cryptic descriptions of those events which occurred in the first 48 years of this century, do the following Psalms, from Psalm 49 to 83, contain similar descriptions of those events which have occurred since 1948 to this present day? Finally, dare we even address the question of those Psalms which follow, Psalms 84 through 100, and can we find cryptic descriptions of those prophetic future events which we believe must shortly come to pass? As incredible as it may seem, it is not impossible that God could have organized the first 100 Psalms to represent, in a cryptic way, the events of the 20th century. One cannot be dogmatic on the subject, but even if they were not numbered as they are, they would still appear to represent, in some uncanny way, the chronology of events in this generation. If Psalm 48 is a prophetic description of 1948, with the birth of the nation of Israel, then let us take note that in verse 13, the psalmist wrote that we should mark the event and tell it to the generation following. Mark you well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. This may mark the beginning of a special generation, like the one referred to by Jesus in Matthew 24:34, when he said, "This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." If so, then let us consider the Psalms which follow, and see if we can find some statement in each which describes an important event for that year in the life of the Jewish people. For instance, in Psalm 50, the psalmist wrote, "Gather my saints together unto me." That appears to be a prophetic description of the law of return, passed by the Israeli Parliament on July 6, 1950. The law of return was passed unanimously by the Knesset, allowing any Jew in the world to migrate to Israel. David Ben-Gurion described it as a charter to the Jews of the world that they might come home to Israel. "Gather my saints together unto me." The following psalms appear to contain the same general theme. Psalm 53. "When God bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad." Psalm 51 gives the description of a sinful people who are seeking the forgiveness of God. The psalm was written by David after his sin with Bathsheba. According to C.I. Schofield, however, the chapter has a dispensational reference. He said, "It will be the pathway of returning Israel." He wrote that in 1909, long before the return of the Jew to his land. Yet it is true. God's chosen people are returning both to their land and eventually to their Messiah. The psalm contains more than could be fulfilled completely in 1951, but its description reveals the heartbeat of the Jewish people during those early days. It describes that which has developed over the years and will continue to progress until the Messiah comes. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." David Ben-Gurion was the first prime minister of Israel, but on December 8, 1953, Ben-Gurion retired. He left the hectic world of politics and moved to a little ranch in the Negev desert, where he wanted to spend the rest of his life as a sheep farmer. He just wanted to get away from it all. But alas, circumstances would not allow, for in 1955 he returned to the government as Minister of Defense. Psalm 55 appears to describe Ben-Gurion's return in 1955. "And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness." But he could not remain in the wilderness, for he was needed in the position of minister of defense. Why? Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. On February 1st, 1961, Ben-Gurion tried to resign again, but without success, for his government and his people still needed him. Psalm 61, Thou wilt prolong the king's life. By June 17, 1963, however, Ben-Gurion had determined to retire. He resigned for the last time and meant it. That was 1963. Perhaps that's why the psalmist concluded in Psalm 63 with these words, But the king shall rejoice in God. David Ben-Gurion died on November 1st, 1973. Perhaps that is the reference of the passage in Psalm 73. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. My flesh and my heart faileth. Through the years since 1948, there has been a continual thorn in the side of the Israeli people. It has taken the form of sporadic fighting between the Arabs and the Jews. For instance, on March 16, 1954, 11 bus passengers were massacred by Arabs on a road near Beersheba. Perhaps that's what the psalmist had reference to in Psalm 54 when he wrote, For strangers are risen up against me. On April 6, 1956, the Egyptian army created a disturbance in the Gaza Strip. 6 Israelis were wounded, and Egypt suffered 140 casualties. In the months that followed, however, it was to explode into a full-scale war. Could that be what the psalmist described in Psalm 56? Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. On October 30th, a full-scale war erupted. The headline in the Jerusalem Post read, Army attacks bases in the heart of Sinai. The next day, the British and the French bombed Cairo. On November 2nd, Egypt's Sinai army was in full flight, and Israeli forces sealed off the Gaza Strip. By November 4th, the battle in the Sinai was over. Israel was the clear victor. All of this occurred in 1956. And in Psalm 56, we have what appears to be a cryptic description. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Thy vows are upon me. Yes, the 1956 war over the Gaza Strip appears to be the subject of Psalm 56. In 1961, the Israeli nation was 13 years old. That was the year Israel was recognized as a full-fledged, developed nation by the UN General Assembly. It was declared to be their national bar mitzvah. Could that be the reference in Psalm 61? For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name.
Friends, we're listening to a classic teaching by Reverend J.R. Church. SWRC has just brought this message out of the vault to make it available to you for the first time in many years. And this is part two of a series taught by Reverend Church The audio of all that you're listening to is included in a 5-disc set called Those Incredibly Cryptic Psalms. This week, we're featuring the audio from disc 1. That's right, there's 4 more discs with a lot more information. It's called Those Incredibly Cryptic Psalms. We also have a DVD teaching on the same theme called The Prophetic Psalms. Last but not least, we have the classic book by Reverend Church, one of his bestsellers of all time, Hidden Prophecies in the Psalms. If you'd like to purchase all 3 as a group, there's a special discount for that. If you'd like to get them individually, whether that's the book, Hidden Prophecies in the Psalms, the teaching that we're listening to, the audio series, Those Incredibly Cryptic Psalms, or the special DVD video presentation, The Prophetic Psalms, you can order online at swrc.com. Again, that's swrc.com. Or give us a call. Our number is 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. 800-652-1144. Now let's rejoin Reverend Church as he continues exploring what he called the incredibly cryptic Psalms.
In 1964, Yasser Arafat organized the Palestinian Liberation Organization. From that day forward, the PLO has been a thorn in the side of Israel. The year was 1964. And in Psalm 64, we can find these words: Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongues like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him, and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. The PLO have done just that in the years following 1964. In 1966, Egypt began beating the war drums again. The resulting conflicts between Israel and Egypt led to 2 major wars, the Six-Day War of 1967 and the Yom Kippur War of 1973. In 1977, Anwar Sadat came before the Israeli Knesset in Jerusalem with his offer of peace. Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat signed the resulting peace treaty on the White House lawn in 1979. The Arab world was furious. As a result, Anwar Sadat was assassinated on October 2, 1981. Now, please note, from Psalm 66 to Psalm 81, the Israeli people are reminded over and over again of their original exodus out of Egypt. Uncanny, but true. Psalm 66, He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. Psalm 68, O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness. Psalm 74, thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Psalm 77, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Psalm 78, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as an heap. Psalm 80. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. Psalm 81. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. These references seem to be placed strategically in the light of Israel's relationship with Egypt. Through all of this, it seems that God is reminding the Israeli people that this generation can be likened to the generation of the Exodus, when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. In fact, the Exodus out of Europe in 1947 was so much like the Exodus out of Egypt that even Psalm 47 makes a reference to it. Psalm 67, seems to reflect upon the results of the war of 1967. In the famous Six-Day War, the city of Jerusalem was reunited under Jewish control for the first time in nearly 2,000 years. Jews from around the world rejoiced in that most historic and important occasion. Psalm 67. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. And the beginning verses of Psalm 68 seem to reflect upon the military aspects of the war. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. Psalm 73 seems to present a description of the Yom Kippur War. Israel was caught off guard in the surprise attack. In those first few days, it looked as if Israel would not survive. Psalm 73. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Israel was able to turn the war, however, and win a decisive victory. Yes, there was victory, but there was no peace. No Arab nation was willing to recognize the sovereignty of the State of Israel until 1977, when Anwar Sadat made his famous offer of peace. Negotiations began immediately and continued throughout the following year of 1978. They were long and difficult. It seemed at times that there would be no peace. It was such an important year in Israel's relationship with Egypt that Psalm 78, it seems, spends a full 72 verses on the subject. In fact, the psalmist started out by saying, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." The peace treaty between Israel and Egypt represented the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and the psalmist indicated the importance of those dark sayings of old. Perhaps that is why we can read in Psalm 81, "Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day." Yes, the Feast of Trumpets was important enough to be noted in what could be its corresponding psalm. On June 6, 1982, the Israeli army launched Operation Peace for Galilee. They moved into Lebanon to disperse the PLO. They just couldn't take it anymore. Arafat's army had continually pressured the Israeli nation with acts of terrorism. After a renewed round of Katyusha rockets, the Jewish people decided they had had enough. Perhaps that's why we read in Psalm 82, "How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked." That brings us to 1983. Arafat met with Jordan's King Hussein. He tried to rally support for his dispersed PLO. Perhaps that is why we read in Psalm 83, "For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee." Who is the enemy described here in these verses? Can we be sure that it is the same enemy of Israel which has conspired over the past several months? As a matter of fact, the enemy is named in verses 6 through 8. the tabernacles of Edom, and the Ishmaelites of Moab, and the Hagarenes, Gebel and Ammon, and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They have Hophni, the children of Lot. Please note, the country of Jordan is described by the ancient tribes listed in these verses, Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Furthermore, the Philistines, or Palestinians, are listed along with the inhabitants of Tyre in Lebanon. Incredible, but there it is. It seems to be a description of those events which have taken place in 1983. Yes, the Psalms appear to contain prophetic overtones describing the events of this generation. What is even more uncanny is that the Psalms appear to be numerically numbered according to the year of each event described. Well, what happens next? Is it recorded in the following verses? Can we look into the near future just by reading each successive psalm? I guess the answer will have to wait until our next program, when we take a further look at those incredibly cryptic psalms.
Today, we're excited to announce the special 40th anniversary edition of J.R. Church's best-selling book, Hidden Prophecies in the Psalms. This book became one of J.R. Church's most popular teachings. Hidden Prophecies in the Psalms points out many parallels between historical events and the Book of Psalms. This special 40th anniversary edition is available right now. Simply call 800-652-1144. That's 800-652-1144. You can also order this timeless work on our website, swrc.com. In addition to the special anniversary edition of Hidden Prophecies in the Psalms, we also have J.R. Church's 5-CD set of teachings entitled Those Incredibly Cryptic Psalms, and his DVD, The Prophetic Psalms. All three items, the book, DVD, and 5-CD set, are available when you call 800-652-1144 or simply visit swrc.com. J.R. Church's Hidden Prophecies in the Psalms, 800-652-1144. Tomorrow, J.R. Church reveals Jesus as the ultimate fulfillment of the prophetic Psalms. Be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. To learn more, visit our website, swrc.com.